Welcome, I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call. It is Bay Area Dance Week. This is the week when we get hundreds of free classes, performances, open rehearsals, and lectures. It's taking place through May 1st. From established company programs to one-time events, Bay Area Dance Week provides an opportunity for dance lovers of all ages and experiences to try many movement styles. There's Argentine tango, classical Indian, jazz, hip-hop. Classes are taking place across the Bay Area from San Francisco to Oakland, Berkeley, Fairfax, Corte Madera, San Jose, and Saratoga. Bay Area Dance Week is designed to raise awareness about the breadth and diversity of dancing in our community. And we are really lucky because the Bay Area has one of the largest, most active, and thriving dance communities in the country. And joining today's Your Call to talk about the event and the power of dancing are three guests. Michelle Lynch Reynolds is Program Director at the Dancers Group, an organization that promotes the visibility and viability of dance. Dancers Group presents Bay Area Dance Week, and they are in their 18th year. And Michelle joins me in studio. Hi, Michelle. Thank you for coming in.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
And congratulations on another amazing event.
Thank you so much.
We're also joined by Edgar Mendez, Program Assistant with the Dancers Group and a member of the Stranger, Lover, Dreamer, and Davalos dance companies. Edgar studied dance at St. Mary's College, and over the course of his studies, he found that dance was the only thing that fueled his soul, and he knew that this was what he wanted to experience in his daily life. And Edgar also joins us in studio. Hi, thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
Great to have you. And Erin Mayling Stewart is the Artistic Director of the dance theater company M-Space Dance, which she founded back in 2000. Erin is a choreographer, director, dancer, and actor. She's been performing in the Bay Area since the mid-90s, and Erin is the recipient of this year's Della Davidson Prize. Over the years, Erin has danced with many Bay Area companies, including one of my favorites, Fly Away. And Erin also joins us in studio. Hi, Erin. Thank you for coming in.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And it's great to see you because I've seen you on stage so many times.
Or on the wall.
So I feel really lucky to be able to interview you because I'm a huge, huge dance fan. So thank you all for coming in today. So Michelle, Bay Area Dance Week runs through May 1st, and I understand that over the weekend you already had about 100 events.
Yeah, we took off with a blast. We kicked off on Friday, and a lot of the events, they're happening Friday through this Sunday, and they cluster around the weekends when most people are available and free. So this weekend we had a big event down in San Jose where 70 dance companies performed on Santana Row. It's an annual event, classes all over the Bay Area, Bollywood classes, you know, you name it, as you described.
Yeah, you can check the website. We've got it at yourcallradio.org, and there are so many different things to choose from. What is it about the Bay Area? Why does the Bay Area have one of the largest, most active, and thriving dance communities in the country?
Well, that's a great question, and I think there are a few different answers, right? A lot of it has to do with our cultural communities, really diverse region in general. And so as people come and immigrate here, they bring their cultural traditions, and they keep them alive, and they push them forward, and they innovate. And so we see a lot of classical traditions, Mexican folklorico, classical Indian dance, classical Chinese dance, representing all of the communities here that come from various parts of the world and celebrate their traditions. But then also there's a history of experimentation and modern dance, postmodern dance, post-postmodern dance. and that has its origins back in the 60s. Even before that, Isadora Duncan is a founder of modern dance. She was born and raised in San Francisco. And so we've carried a torch of innovation in that way as well.
And Erin, you have been performing in the Bay Area since the mid-90s. Why do you think the Bay Area has such a rich history, and why do you think it has one of the most active dance communities in the country?
The form that I am most part of in Bay Area dance is the modern dance and dance theater world, and I want to echo what Michelle said about it being a place where innovation and experimentation particularly have been fostered and encouraged. And when I came here in the early 90s, a lot of that had to do with it being an inexpensive place to live. And so you could kind of come in and just try things, and you didn't have to think so much maybe about how you were going to market it or something like that. And I think that that has led to a lot of radical work, and that's part of what makes San Francisco's character what it is, the dance scene and the city at large.
And Edgar, you discovered dance when you were a student at St. Mary's College, and I understand you walked by a classroom one day and saw people moving, and it really grabbed your attention.
Yes.
So tell us about that experience.
Well, I would always just walk down to class, you know, regular seminar, and I would see these people moving, and I thought there must be something magical about this experience, you know, and so I had to try it. And by allowing myself to, like, try something new, try something different, it really captured my attention, because I've never danced. You know, I can dance at parties, but, like, training the body to move is actually so much more, like,
intense.
Yeah.
Can you talk about that process when you say training the body to move?
Yeah, training the body to move as in, like, training yourself to be you, basically. You know, it embodies so much where, like, you can't be no one else but yourself in that moment. And dancing really teaches you how to do that, you know? It teaches you to embody you.
Hmm. And I've been thinking, it's so interesting that we booked this show about a month ago, and then, of course, we had the death of Prince last week. Mm-hmm. And it's just Prince, the music, has been on all the stations. There have been so many interviews about his life from NPR to the AM stations. And it's the kind of music where when the music comes on, you just have to move. Mm-hmm. And so I was thinking about that. What is it about that kind of music that gets people to move?
And it's not just about the kind of music. It's about him as a personality. You know, he was so experimental in his own right and brought forward an openness and a sense of possibility. And I think that kind of freedom, that feeling of freedom translates to his music. And so is very welcoming in a kind of way to anyone moving in whatever way feels right.
I think you just can't not dance to that music. I don't want to break down why, but it's sort of impossible. And one of the things that I've loved lately is just walking around the street, and it's almost like every car that goes by, you hear Prince coming out of their window. And yeah, it does make you need to move. And I think Prince does embody also something about, like, letting your freak flag fly. And that is very meaningful, I think, to a lot of people who maybe don't feel a sense of belonging always with dominant culture, which is also another thing I think that's special about San Francisco and the Bay Area, and that may have been what drew many of us who aren't from here in the first place.
I was up in Guerneville for the weekend, and they would have purple lighting everywhere. And, you know, I always feel like purple's ambiguous. And, you know, you want to, when his music comes on, it's like, so, like, there's an attitude to it.
Right. Yeah. Well, and also, I just found this article at 48 Hills, Where to Celebrate Prince with Dancing. I mean, the night it happened, there was a dance party at the Embarcadero, mm-hmm. where people were just dancing outside. A number of clubs over the next 2 weeks are having dance parties. There's one 24-hour party. So we can also post this on the website, yourcallradio.org, because there are just so many tributes that are happening over the next couple of weeks. Today we are talking about Bay Area Dance Week. It runs through May 1st. Hundreds of free classes, performances, open rehearsals, and lectures are taking place. And Michelle, how is it free? I mean, this is amazing, because checking your website, there are just pages and pages of events and classes that you can take. There's yoga. You can go watch amazing companies. And all of this is free.
It's a sign of the incredible generosity of the dance community. So all of these free events are being hosted by individual artists, dance studios, dance schools, theaters. And the idea is to kind of show off to people and give people an opportunity to try something new that they might not have ever known about before and get hooked. You know, and so it's modeled largely after the visual arts open studios, and you know, it's an opportunity to discover something that perhaps will become an addiction.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'd love to hear from you. If you have any questions about Bay Area Dance Week, if you've been to any of these events, we'd love to hear from you. If you're a dancer, what is it like to dance now in the Bay Area? What changes have you seen over the years? What makes this such a rich place for dance communities? And what performances have you seen lately? If there's anything you're looking forward to, we'd love to hear from you. I've got a list here, and we'll keep tabs of this. There's actually an aerial dance performance by Flyaway Productions, Archives and Outcries, California's Unconventional Women Tell Their Stories. And this is going to take place on May 3rd, 2:15, 3:30, and 5:45 at the Paul Leonard Library over by San Francisco State. So that's just one event. And if you've got any you'd like to add to our list, we'd love to hear from you. 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. And if you'd like to talk about how you incorporate dance into your life, what does dance mean to you? And it doesn't have to be completely intellectual. Maybe you just like to throw on a CD and move to get out of a certain headspace. Or we just love to hear about what how you incorporate dance into your life. 866-798-8255. You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org. So, Erin, you were a dancer with Flyaway, and this is an amazing production because it's basically women dancing on walls. Can you talk about the different kinds of dance that you've incorporated into your life?
Sure. Doing the Flyaway show was very special. That was my first time doing anything like aerial dance, and it was a neat opportunity to get to do something like that.
And it takes a certain amount of strength, right?
Yes, and you get a lot of bruises, but it's fun to fly. I come from like a modern dance tradition, so there's a release technique, there's different, modern dance can mean so much. Contact improvisation, which is an improvisational form, which is largely duet or group-based, has been a big influence for me. And then in my own life, kind of outside of my performing life, I've done little bits of tango and swing and salsa and going out to the club and dancing in my bedroom. Something that I've been exploring last year and has influenced me a lot is the work of Christy Funch, who is a choreographer in the area who I've worked with. And she created this project called the 100 Day Score, which was really about developing a home practice and a daily practice. So there's a series of 100 prompts, and you do one per day. And this is a way of bringing dance into any part of your life, not necessarily being on a treadmill of creating production after production, but like dance, doing a dance today based on sense of touch or something like that. And that's been really meaningful to me, and very generative as an artist, and refreshing and inspiring.
And tell us about your dance company, M Space, which was founded back in 2000.
Sure. What we do now, especially, is dance theater, which is really a blend of theater and dance. It's often non-narrative. There may be a lot of fragments all around a specific theme. So I did a show about primates and prayer a few years ago. So there was a story about a girl who lost her tail, and a story of sitting in church being bored, or things about our sort of animal nature, and then also our reaching for something divine in ourselves. I did a piece influenced by Streetcar named Desire, in which a game of hearts determined which scenes got played on any given night. And most recently, we had a piece that was about the weather and seasons and relationships, and there was a acting couple who told a story primarily through words of their relationship, and a dance couple where their story was told primarily through movement. And I was very interested in how those two stories would kind of stand up against one another, and whether a story told through movement can kind of carry the same kind of emotional weight as a story told through dialogue. Mm.
I'm also noticing that a lot more dance companies are using visuals, for example, in the background, and a lot of lighting. So there's a lot of things going on to add to the story.
Oh, sure. I mean, I think dance can be very simple, of one person in an empty space telling a story with their own body, to things using motion capture technology, collaborations with visual artists. And I think that that whole range is very exciting, and things can be moving anywhere on that range. I've seen performances that were so simple, and just connecting to that human body, to things that were so complex and beautifully crafted. I think that that's something really neat about dance, that it can live anywhere on that continuum.
Right, and the thing that is great about the Bay Area is you get all of that.
Oh,
here.
Yeah. And this, you know, Dance Week is happening right now, and so there's a ton of free events, but almost this much dancing is happening really all the time.
It's so true. If you're a dance fan, you're so lucky. I mean, you can go to one amazing performance almost every week.
You could go to multiple amazing performances every week.
Yeah, probably well over 1,000 a year. So you could go to one nearly every day, and five if you had the energy.
And so, Edgar, tell us about your companies, Stranger Lover Dreamer. Mm. And how did you get involved from St. Mary's? So you studied dance there. And then what is the process of getting involved in a company? I always wonder that.
Mm-hmm.
You have to try out and
yeah, you audition. But also I had like wonderful professors who just took me under their wing. And mm-hmm. I loved their whole sensibility and their whole like outlook for dance and things like that. You know, it's like they're not just choreographing and, you know, just naming it that. It's actually like you know, it's like they're bringing you to the table, and that's great. Yeah, so it was mostly just sticking to the people who I love to dance with. And you know,
how did you find these companies, Stranger Lover Dreamer and Davalos Dance?
So Stranger Lover Dreamer is a collective of, it was founded by Sean Avella, Elizabeth Randall, and Andrew Merrill, who all teach at St. Mary's. And so I was like, hey, like I'm gonna graduate, I want to dance with you guys. And so then they just, you know.
And how long have you been dancing with them?
Since I graduated. So 2013.
So you're relatively new.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So talk a little bit about the training process, because God, when you see companies on stage, whether it's Flyaway or ODC or Alonzo Lines, and you just, the body is just an amazing thing to watch. And what I love is just knowing what the body is capable of doing, but there's so much training behind that.
Yes, there is.
Dancers are very hardworking people.
Can you elaborate on that? Because it's easy for us to go and watch this two-hour beautiful performance, but I always wonder what goes on behind the scenes. This must have taken so much practice, especially when you have a lot of people on stage and the movements are almost flawless.
Sure. Well, a lot of time what you're seeing is those people are in class every single day. And even maybe a half an hour dance piece in a small theater could have 100 hours of rehearsals going into it. It can take 10 hours to make 1 minute of choreography, sort of depending on the complexity. Again, there's a huge range. You may see performances that have had two rehearsals and they're mostly improvised. And I would also say that there is a style of dancing that requires incredibly rigorous training, but there is, again, a whole range. There are dance performances that involve non-trained performers alongside professional performers. And I think ideally, you know, as dancers, we're training all the time. But at this point in my dance career, I'm not in class every single day, but I do still consider myself a dancer and a professional dancer.
But at one point, you were in class every day.
Yeah.
Is that what it's like for you, Edgar?
Yeah. I mean, I'm navigating that. It's like working full time and then also trying to dance in San Francisco.
Mm. Well, I was going to ask about that because we've done a lot of shows about artists and the struggle to make ends meet. I mean, we all know what's happening right now in the Bay Area, and there are so many organizations that are working with city government to ensure that we keep the area vibrant. Mm-hmm. What about dance? I, you know, that's the other thing, is you wonder, is this the full-time job? Are they getting paid a decent wage to do this?
Nobody's doing it as a full-time job. I would say many dancers teach Pilates, teach dance classes, teach yoga. I personally work part-time in tech. That's pretty unusual. People waitress. People have full-time jobs. And I think that's you really have to hustle a lot now. And I think about when I was here in the 90s trying to make my way as a choreographer, I didn't know what I was doing, and that was okay. And I could have my part-time job in my very cheap apartment and sort of flail around and figure it out. And I look at young artists today, and they are so on the ball, and they have to hustle so much and have four jobs and live in an apartment with six people. I guess I did that too. But it's I think it's changed the texture a little bit, in that maybe in order to be coming into this, you have to be so driven. And again, I think that can affect the level of experimentation that may go on. And it's the experimentation that pushes the form forward.
I would agree with that. And I think in a certain way, dance is an example of many fields where the economic climate in San Francisco and in the Bay Area in general is impacting. But it's true that when you come here as a young dancer and you're just getting started, the demands on your time are so much greater to simply make ends meet than they used to be. Mm-hmm. And so we still see a lot of young people coming here to dance because there's so much going on, but the demands are so, so much greater. And so we've yet to see what the long-term impacts might be, whether there's more burnout, for example. And hopefully that won't be the case. And hopefully, as you said, there are a lot of organizations and government entities that are trying to come up with solutions. But it's whether or not the solutions keep up with the pace of the change that's happening.
Dance is somewhat unique in its needs, too. And like, we need quite a bit of space. We can't go into our little studios and paint, or our garage and play guitar. We need space, and that's a huge issue in the Bay Area right now.
Right. I've heard from a lot of dance companies where the rents have just continued to go up. Dance Mission, for example, in the Mission, their rents have continually gone up, and they're often having online fundraisers to make the rent.
And that is a space, yes, that does a lot of community classes and community-based performances in addition to professional dance companies.
And amazing political performances, yes, the, yes, Dance Brigade. Let's take a call before we go to break. Today we're talking about Bay Area Dance Week, which runs through May 1st. Let's hear from Mary Beth in Marin. Hi, Mary Beth. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, go ahead.
I don't know if this dance studio that used to put on performances in my old neighborhood was on 7th Street close to Market, but that was such a wonderful experience for me. And I used to teach dance, and I still dance all the time at home, but I have become disabled. And I just, when I look at your schedule, I would be better off if it brought tears to my eyes, because I can't go to any of them. And even if somebody took me to one of them, they're doing things at those performances that I'm sure are beautiful and needed by so many people. But I just hope someday that there's more dance for people who are disabled. And I have seen people in wheelchairs. Well, maybe I've seen two different performances that have had a woman in a wheelchair, and that just warmed my heart so much. And what can I say? I'm 75 years old now, every day, but I just wish that I would feel more welcome in that community somehow. And thank you for all your work and your generosity.
Thank you for calling in, Mary Beth. Michelle?
Yeah, I just thank you. Thank you for your call. And I agree that there's our dance community has a fair amount of work that is integrated, and there are companies, for example, Access Dance and others, that work with physically integrated cultures and communities and practices, but I agree that there could be so much more. I hope we can do all we can to encourage those forms and encourage everybody to feel empowered to dance and have the tools and physical spaces that allow them to make their artistic dreams come true. And I think the space you were talking about at 7th and Market is Alonzo King Line's Ballet Dance Center. They offer a wide range of classes, and one of the teachers who teaches there regularly, her name is Kathy Mata, and she has a ballet group. She teaches beginner, adult beginner ballet classes for anyone, and she offers free performances throughout the year, largely at senior centers and other community spaces. And so if you don't know about Kathy's work, I think it would be wonderful for you to look her up. She's doing fantastic things for the community.
And I think Mary Beth is probably talking about the Axis Dance mm-hmm. Company, because you do see people in wheelchairs with that dancing with that company. And that company exists to change the face of dance and disability. That's their main mission.
That's right. That's right. Their founder, Judy Smith, started the company, I think, 30 years ago, if not more. And at that time, it was unheard of for someone in a wheelchair to be on stage. And so like I said, we have work to do as a culture at large, but they have taken great strides in the field and in the form to have people who are in wheelchairs, are missing limbs, have various abilities and disabilities, and it's extraordinary the work that they're doing.
And what about the question of accessibility mm-hmm. for people with disabilities who want to take part in Bay Area Dance Week?
On our website, there is an indication whether the class is in a space that is handicapped and wheelchair accessible, and many of them are. And each one of those listings has an email address to contact someone if you have a particular need and you're wondering if you can be accommodated.
All right. Well, thank you again for calling in, Mary Beth. Today we are talking about Bay Area Dance Week, which runs through May 1st. Find more information at yourcallradio.org, and we'll be back after this.
I got ants in my pants and I need to dance. Come on.
You're listening to Your Call on Local Public Radio. To join in today's conversation, the toll-free number is 866-798-8255. Toll-free, 866-798-TALK. You can also send a question via email if you like. The email address is feedback@yourcallradio.org. Coming up at 11, it's this week's edition of Reveal. Backstory at noon today, and at 1, Alternative Radio.
Son of a gun. Come on. Hey. Do ya? Do ya? I love you. Yes, I do. With all my heart and soul. I need you. Yes, I do. Don't let my love go cold. Squeeze me tight. Hold me right.
This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. Coming up tomorrow, we'll have a conversation with Sonia Kennebec about her new documentary, National Bird. It weaves together the chilling stories of three whistleblowers who break the silence around the secret U.S. drone program. One of these whistleblowers is threatened with jail time and treason for speaking out. So on tomorrow, if you have any questions about drones, I hope you can tune in. Today we are talking about Bay Area Dance Week. There are hundreds of free classes, performances, rehearsals, and lectures taking place through May 1st. The Bay Area has one of the largest, most active, and thriving dance communities in the country. And if you'd like to join us, if you have any stories to share about dance, how do you incorporate dance into your life, if you've seen any performances lately, or if you're looking forward to any performances, we'd love to hear from you. And if you're a dancer, what is it like to dance in the Bay Area? We just heard about what life is like living in the Bay Area as a dancer and having to juggle a number of jobs. There's a lot of practice that's involved. You need studio space. If you have any stories you'd like to share with us, we'd love to hear from you. 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org. Michelle Lynch Reynolds is Program Director at the Dancers Group. They present Bay Area Dance Week. Edgar Mendez is program assistant with the dancers group and a member of the Stranger Lover Dreamer and Davalos Dance Companies. And Aaron Mayling Stewart is artistic director of the dance theater company M Space Dance, which she founded in 2000. And we had a caller who didn't stay on the line and wanted to talk about the small printed guide that she found really handy. And you still have that, right? You have it right here. It's a small square printed guide of events.
Yes, there's a small event guide that is available at dance studios, theaters, cafes all around the Bay Area. You can pick one up, and it shows a sampling of some of the events, not all of them, but a good sampling of the kinds of events that you can find during Dance Week, organized in a way that, for example, you can see the Wild Side, which are classes like jazz funk and the annual April Follies Queer Dance Sport Performance Competition, rather. And so you can find that. And to refer back to Mary Beth, the caller from earlier, each one of the events, if they're wheelchair accessible, has a small wheelchair icon next to it.
And what is that competition? That sounded interesting.
Oh, yeah. It's the 14th annual April Follies Queer Dance Sport Classic. So it's a competition, ballroom dance, I believe, competition, and it's the largest same-gender dance competition in the continent.
Well, one of the ones that I'm looking forward to is the Alonzo King Lines Dance Center. They're doing a program in Union Square on Wednesday at 12:30. And if you want to see Alonzo King Lines Ballet on stage, they're an amazing company. It's Wednesday through Saturday at the Yerba Buena Center. You do have to get a ticket for that. But Wednesday, 12:30 at Union Square, that performance is free. And what about you two? What are you looking forward to this week?
I'm looking forward to going to classes and rehearsals in my usual being a performer schedule.
And is there anything else that you can't make that you're looking forward to?
That I can't make that I'm looking forward to?
Yeah. Or that you're excited about?
This is I have to confess that this is actually part of what it is to be a dancer in the Bay Area is being very involved in a lot of work and not always being able to see things that you want to see. So I do go through phases where I get to go out and see a lot of the work of my peers. Again, I'll call out Christy Funch, I believe, has an open rehearsal, and she's just making really unique, smart work that I would recommend anybody seeing. But we often are, my tagline is really, I can't, I have rehearsal.
What about you, Edgar?
I'm looking to try out some hip-hop classes just because I want to be a diva one day.
Yeah, there's a class coming up on this Saturday that I think is great because I'm a 90s girl. It's called Dance Like Alaya. And you get to learn the dance moves of 90s MTV stars.
Oh, okay. That sounds fun.
Yeah.
I'm with you there. We have our caller back about the guidebook. Let's hear from Judy in San Francisco. Hi, Judy. Welcome to the show.
Yeah. Hi. Thank you. What I was trying to say there is that you used to have a really, really useful guidebook that had, it was a little pocket-sized thing, and it had all the events, all of them, day by day. So if it was Monday, you could look at Monday and just, you know, 2 o'clock and find out everything that was going and just zip there. It was just so much easier than websites or this, you know, hit and miss guide that comes out now. That's not really, I don't even carry that. It doesn't help me.
Yeah, the guide.
Can Judy stay on the line?
Yes, Judy, thank you. The event guide that we now print is, you're right, it's a sampling of the events. And we transitioned from having a printed guidebook of all of the events during Dance Week to moving to a more online version for a few reasons. And a lot of it had to do with the fact that when we printed all of the events, once it's in print, it's in print. And a lot of things change. A lot of events change from the time that they're originally planned to the week itself. So we found that by moving everything online, you can do a few things. The people who are hosting events can change details up to the minute if a location has to change or a date or a time has to change. and you can sign up for events that you're interested in going to. And by signing up, you can be kept abreast if there is any change. And we can capture your information, and everyone has a little bit more knowledge about what to expect and how many people will be at their event and things like that.
And Judy, it sounds like you are pretty familiar with Dance Week. What do you like about it?
I love National Dance Week. I met one of my best friends at a bus stop, and we were going to the same performance, and we've become best friends. So that's an interesting detail. But a couple of years ago, I took my vacation week as National Dance Week so I could go to as many things as I could.
Wow.
But I do want to get back to this guide. Online doesn't work for me. I think it doesn't work for a lot of people my age, and it's a little bit age discriminatory. I mean, I don't have a smartphone. I don't have good access. It just doesn't work for me, but that little guide was the greatest thing there could be. And, you know, I can see all your points that you made. Those are good points, but having this guide as a starting point was fantastic.
Well, I do appreciate that feedback, and we'll try, every year we try to make our website better and more intuitive, and we will continue doing that.
All right. Thank you so much for calling in, Judy. And if you'd like to join us, the toll-free number is 866-798-8255. If you are a lover of dance like Judy, taking an entire week off to attend the events, that's pretty amazing.
Incredible.
We'd love to hear from you. What are your thoughts on dance? Why do you love dance? What does dance mean to you? How do you incorporate dance into your life? And if you have seen any performances lately that you'd like to talk about, or if you're looking forward to anything, we'd love to hear from you. And if you're a dancer, we'd love to hear from you. 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org. Edgar, we were talking earlier about what it takes to be a dancer and just how there's just so much work involved and you're always practicing. So you're 3 years into being a professional dancer, would you say?
Mm-hmm.
So can you tell us more about what goes on behind the scenes?
Lots of bruises, lots of sweat, lots of everything. You're dealing with multiple obstacles, such as trying to work full-time and trying to dance, you know. The only way you can become, I feel like, a professional dancer is by showing up, just by showing up to classes. And that's the hardest thing to do at the same time.
So 2013, you started to dance, and things in the Bay Area at that point have already started in terms of rents and things. It's incredibly expensive. So how do you balance both of those as an artist and a dancer?
I really thank my dancing community, like a bunch of my professors who teach at Alonzo King Lines or Shaw Anderson in Berkeley. I get to just ask them if I can be their guest, and you don't have to pay for the class, you know? That's a really helpful way to just continue to dance, is really your dancing community, your friends. You know, they hold so much support in your success to become a professional dancer.
Mm-hmm. And when we do shows about art and artists and how they're trying to balance everything, like you said, Aaron, a lot of dancers have multiple jobs in addition to dancing. Is that pretty common among most dancers?
Very common. Yeah, I would say most dancers I know have multiple jobs.
And Michelle, is this something that Dancers Group is working with? Are you working with city officials to ensure that these spaces remain intact?
Yes, the city is doing a lot of work. Whether or not it's happening fast enough is another question, but there's a lot of work, a lot of conversations being had about how to ensure that especially homes and housing for artists of all stripes and working space for dancers in particular and for dance companies. There's displacement funds available for organizations that may potentially lose their space or whose leases are running up, those sorts of things. There's a scale problem. I think the scale of the need is so much greater right now than the resources that are at hand. But there are conversations, and Dancers Group is in the door in many of them to try to advocate for dance artists in particular and the specific needs of space and access and, of course, housing that all artists and all people who are in positions where their fields are not lucrative are in need.
Well, we've done a lot of shows on this issue about artists working with city officials to ensure that these spaces stay open. So if you have any updates on this, because sometimes there are meetings at City Hall and places where people can actually use their voices to get involved. So if you have any updates on some of these meetings, we do shows pretty regularly on this issue, but it's hard sometimes to keep up with all of the different meetings that are taking place.
Absolutely.
So if there's anything we need to know about, please give us a call and let us know at 866-798-8255. Do you have any updates we need to know about?
I don't have any meetings that I know about offhand, but Dancers Group as a service organization, we try to get information out to people as much as we possibly can. So you can either follow us on Facebook, or we have a free membership level at dancersgroup.org that you can sign up to, and we send out local news and relevant news to people in San Francisco, but across the Bay Area as well, because it's certainly not a San Francisco only problem.
And one of the success stories in those efforts is CounterPulse, which is at 80 Turk now and is now in a building that I believe the city helped them to purchase.
Right.
And that's a really important organization doing not only performance work, but political work, community organizing, and it's just great to see that they now have a secure home.
That is Erin Mayling Stewart. She's the artistic director of the dance theater company M Space Dance, which she founded in 2000. Erin has been performing in the Bay Area since the mid-90s. We're also joined by Edgar Mendez, program assistant with the Dancers Group, the organization that presents Bay Area Dance Week. Edgar is a member of the Stranger, Lover, Dreamer, and Davalos dance companies. And Michelle Lynch Reynolds is program director at the Dancers Group, and they are celebrating 18 years of Bay Area Dance Week. Through May 1st, there are hundreds of free classes, performances, rehearsals, and lectures. You can find more information at yourcallradio.org. Lots of different things to take part in: tango, classical Indian, jazz, hip hop. The Bay Area has one of the largest, most active, and thriving dance communities in the country. And if you'd like to join us, you can give us a call at 866-798-8255. You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org. We have an email from Elaine, who says, for those who are interested in a unique form of movement and not just in dance, the Brema Center in Oakland is having several free classes as part of Bay Area Dance Week. Brema is a form of movement and touch done in pairs or by oneself that nurtures dancers and supports anyone who wants to be more present and embodied in their life. You don't need any experience. Tonight, there is a class from 7 to 8:30, and they're offering free mini sessions before or after the class. Find more information at Brema, BREEMA.com. Thank you for that, Elaine. What about that? How do you take care of your bodies?
I think in some ways, dance can take care of your bodies. It can also be very hard on the body. When I was performing with flyaway dance, I actually had a herniated disc at that time, which was incredibly painful. So the usual sort of acupuncture massage kind of things and sort of home self-care become very important. But I think that dance generally is a healthy pursuit. And something that came to mind with something you were talking about earlier was that I'm involved right now in a project with director Krista DeNio, who's working with veterans and non-veterans to create a performance. And she's been doing a series of workshops. And one of the veterans who came in this past weekend said the reason she was there was she wanted to diversify her movement. Like, she felt like her body only moved in certain ways in her life. And I think that's something that's really special about dance, is there's no other type of physical activity that we do that is quite as three-dimensional and opening to all the possibilities of the body. And I think that it's in itself can be quite healing. It can also be risky, depending on how you're approaching that. But
and what is the piece with the veterans going to be about?
That's called Stand Ground, and it's going to be a group of an all-female cast made up of veteran and non-veteran performers. And it's about territory and women warriors.
Hmm. Sounds interesting. Can we find information about that online?
That will be on the CounterPulse website, counterpulse.org, I believe. And that's happening in October, which is a ways off.
Great. Thank you. Let's go next to a caller. Let's go to Ralph in San Francisco. Hi, Ralph. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Well, this is a wonderful show. And I was driving back from City College from working out in their PE department. And I heard your program, and I couldn't keep my mouth shut. I drove home, didn't get any speeding tickets. And I just want to say City College is extremely wonderful. I've been going there since, I don't know, 1999. I hated dancing. And at the tender old age of 65, somebody put some pressure on me. And I signed up for a class at City College called Beginning Swing. I almost quit. And I thought I had two left feet. But I've always loved swing music. And one night, my partner and I and the music joined together, and there was nothing else. And we just took off, and we were spinning round and round in perfect time to the music. And it was a moment, a transcendental moment, and I became really and truly addicted to it. And that was in 2003. And I've been involved in East Coast Swing, Lindy Hop, ballroom dancing, and now about a 10-year addiction to Balboa. And I love to dance. I go to Lindy in the Park every Sunday, which has been on for almost 20 years.
Yeah.
Behind the DeYoung Museum every Sunday at noontime, a freebie. It's wonderful. Very dedicated people there. I go to the Verdi Club, 2424 Mariposa at Potrero. It's a wonderful spot, swing dancing every Tuesday night, lessons, I love lessons, and I'm becoming a frequenter at Cat's Corner on Mission Street, and it's a wonderful, loving group of people. Dancers are really incredible. It's a family, and I thank you very much for all that you're doing today to promote National Dance. Oh, one more thing, the website, which I'm sure you mentioned, BayAreaNDW.org. There is a section, if you scroll down about a fifth of the way, with all the open dances at City College this week. There are a whole bunch of them. Everything, tango, swing, ballroom, you name it, it's there. Hip-hop. And it's a wonderful experience to go in and see what's going on at City College.
Ralph, can I ask you, what has dance done for your life? What has it added to your life?
I was a commercial pilot, military pilot, electrical engineer. I had no interest in dancing whatsoever. Actually, I was terribly embarrassed about it because I did love swing music. But it's given me a whole new family and a new dimension to my life. I have a lot of new dimensions to my life since I've retired happily. And dancing adds an incredibly rich dimension to my life that is indescribable. The people who are sitting there with you can tell you there's a lot that they cannot put into words. It's something that you must experience through motion of the body. And in my case, because I'm a partner dancer, it's being with somebody else, frame and connection, which the folks with you can tell you all about. There's nothing like it. Exchange of energy between two moving bodies, it's beautiful. It's indescribably beautiful. So let's hear the other guy say. Yes.
All right. Thank you so much for calling in, Ralph. We've got big smiles in the room right now.
Yeah. I don't know if any of us could say it really better than you did. But I will say City College is close to my heart. That's actually where I discovered modern dance. I grew up on ballet, which was not really my form, and it really was wonderful, and it is a very accepting place. You see all kinds of people there. They've got a great dance program, so I definitely recommend that as like a welcoming place to go and find your inner dancer.
And I think that they are actually holding that beginner swing class during Dance Week for free if you look on the website. And I love what you had to say, Ralph. I feel like that is embodying what we try to do through Dance Week, which is to say, you know, anyone can dance, everyone can dance anytime in their lives. And hopefully this week, these 10 days are an opportunity to feel like, you know, if you needed a little extra nudge to try something out, that there's no barrier for you, and to come and join us, and perhaps your life will be changed.
Create a new family, as he said, or add another dimension to your life.
That is the piece about community and family is a big part of, I think, the life of a dancer or anyone who identifies as a dancer, not a professional dancer, is something that it's like the people that you are creating with or dancing with do really become a beautiful community and family. And that's for any struggles, that's like a very large reward.
Well, thank you so much for calling in, Ralph. We have time for one more caller. Let's hear from Lee in San Francisco. Hi, Lee.
Hello there. Thanks so much for this show. It's reminded me about Dance Week. I have a question. It all ties in perfectly with the previous call about old and older people joining in the dance, because the one piece of unsolicited advice I give to the young is don't stop dancing. Mm. It is the greatest loss of my life. I'm sorry, Alan. You know, like many girls, I loved ballet, and then you're told, oh no, you know, for whatever reasons. And when you're young, you dance, but then you get older, and you don't go to bars. So yeah, about old folk who used to love to dance, coming back in, where do we go?
Thank you. I think that is what you're describing is something that's so that happens to so many people. The idea that we're taught that dance is only for the young and only for the beautiful and only for the able-bodied, and that's so untrue. Anyone can dance, and we all dance in any number of ways, whether it's in the privacy of our own home or in our car or in the elevator. But there are opportunities, and I hope that folks find them during Dance Week, for people of all shapes, sizes, and ages to dance. I'm looking through the guide here just right now, and I wanted to highlight the USF Dance Generators, which is an intergenerational company and classes that it's taught at the University of San Francisco. It's called Dance Generators, and they have an event during Dance Week as well.
I'd love to also just in general mention Anna Halperin, who is incredibly inspiring. She celebrated her 90th birthday, I believe it
95th.
Was. 95th. Oh, my God. 95th birthday last year, and she is still dancing in the trees on her dance deck. She is a dance pioneer in our area. So if you don't know about Anna Halperin, look her up. She's just a treasure and an inspiration. Yeah.
Thank you so much for calling in, Lee. Hopefully you can take part in one of these events. With Bay Area Dance Week runs through May 1st. Michelle Reynolds Lynch is program director at the Dancers Group. Edgar Mendez is a member of the Stranger Lover Dreamer and Davalos Dance Companies. And Erin Mayling Stewart founded M Space Dance in 2000. Thank you all for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you. So much.
And thank you for joining us. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's your call. On the next Your Call, we'll have a conversation with Sonia Kennebec about her new documentary, National Bird, which weaves together the chilling stories of three whistleblowers who break the silence around the secret U.S. drone program. They reveal damning details about innocent people who have suffered from mistaken drone attacks. One whistleblower is threatened with jail time and treason for speaking out. So what do you want to know about the drone program? It's Your Call with me, Rose Aguilar, and you. Support for Your Call comes from the listeners of KALW. To listen to past shows or to sign up for our podcast, visit yourcallradio.org. Laura Flynn produces the show, Malihe Razazan is senior producer, Matt Martin is executive producer, and Rosalie Atkinson is our intern. Phil Hartman is our chief engineer, and Joe Burke is our studio engineer. Our theme music is performed and composed by Live Human. You can email us at feedback@yourcallradio.org.